moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. We started out the day pretty early at the news desk this morning, about 8:30-something Central Time, with live coverage of Mike Lindell and a bunch of citizens in Georgia delivering 40,000 documents, including affidavits affidavits about voter fraud, things about decertifying the election, calling for investigations. So we covered that for a few hours today. And shockingly, they were able to get the citizens of Georgia that were there with Mike Lindell, were able to get those boxes, those banker boxes, I don't know, probably a dozen of them. They were actually able to take them into the state capitol, and we had our cameraman embedded with him and filmed it all live and brought it out live. But they actually walked into the state capitol at one point. I was a little concerned about that, but they did, and they actually scanned them through the scanners you go through, like at the airport or whatever. They let the citizens go through that, scanned them, scanned the boxes, and those citizens took those boxes to the governor's office of Georgia. We did not send our camera guy there. We stayed downstairs with Emerald Robinson and Mike Lindell as I was anchoring from the news desk, but we did have a producer go with them, those boxes, and the citizens of Georgia that were there, and filmed with an iPhone them being delivered to the governor of Georgia. So very interesting morning, and more was accomplished than I thought would get done. So that's good. But a lot of things moving. I'm following a lot of stuff happening in Wisconsin. There is a lot happening in the state of Wisconsin behind the scenes right now. I did listen to, WISN? I listened to an interview this morning where Speaker Voss was being interviewed. Boy, he wasn't being too kind to good old Tim Rantham, our buddy Tim, who's now he's running for governor last Saturday. But that's the Republican Speaker Voss. He just is holding fast that it's unconstitutional to decertify, even though there has been cited two Supreme Court decisions related to decertification, Bush v. Gore being one of them. So anyway, lot happening across the country. Of course, we're watching now, and some of us are monitoring the live feeds coming out of Canada with the truckers being moved. And clearly, many believe that Trudeau wants violence. Let's go to worldviewreport.com. Worldviewreport.com is the aggregated news site where I put up articles every day. I handpick all of these articles. And again, if you want to look at what I think are some of the most important news stories of the day, many of them we do not have time to get to, but doesn't mean you shouldn't know about them. I do want to highlight, however, some of these on here. One of them is that what Trudeau is doing, like here it is, Trudeau does not want to end the protest peacefully. He wants violence. A great article over at the Federalist. Trudeau does not want to end the protest peacefully. He wants violence. The only way to understand the actions of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau over the past 2 weeks is that he wants the Freedom Convoy protest in Ottawa, which so far has been entirely peaceful, to descend into a violent confrontation between protesters and police. Everything Trudeau has done from this initial dismissive remarks, from his initial dismissive remarks about the protesters being a, quote, small fringe minority, end quote, with, quote, unacceptable views, end quote, to his ongoing refusal to meet with them, to the unprecedented invocation of Emergency Act this week, has served to escalate the situation in Ottawa and increase the likelihood that it ends in some kind of violence. Remember what Saul Alinsky said? Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, dedicated his book in the initial publications to Lucifer, who was the first rebel known to man who at least won his own kingdom. That's what he wrote. Saul the Red Alinsky, who discipled Barack Hussein Obama, and of course Barack was put into power through the help of another disciple of Saul Alinsky, a Jesuit priest by the name of Gregory Galuza, and there is reported by the Chicago Mag that when everyone asked him about his election, he credits Gregory Galuza, the Jesuit Saul Alinsky disciple that helped him win the Iowa primary against Hillary Clinton. Well, Saul Alinsky said what? The change comes from the conflict. The change comes from the conflict. They want conflict. Then the narrative can be proven true. They are violent. They are insurrectionists. They're dangerous. So they want to incite riots. They want to incite danger. They want to push people. Even if they have to inject provocateurs into the crowd who are not part of the Freedom Convoy, but appear to be, based on their dress or their signs that they're carrying, to be part of it so they can have them doing things that are illegal and stoking problems so they can then say, you see, we tried to tell you. So we understand what Saul Alinsky said. We understand what Justin Trudeau is doing. But we're following what's going on in Canada. Now, I want to talk to you about a few things that I think are coming that are of concern. But before I do, I want to play a couple quick videos for you. Here is one from Summit News, and it's titled, the article is video, Trump promises justice is coming for Hillary Clinton. Has a little video here. And what's very interesting about this video is that it shows all the media clips where the media was telling us that this idea that Donald Trump, candidate Trump, then President Trump was spied on was a lie. Remember, Leslie Stahl with her little pious attitude on 60 Minutes? I think that was the one that did it. President Trump, this is 60 Minutes, and we just can't allow you. Like, give me a break, Leslie. So listen to this. The media tried to tell you none of this was true. It was a big lie, and yet we know today from John Durham's special prosecutor investigation, indeed, everything they were warning about was true, that this is bigger than Watergate. This is insurrection. This is insurrection. Listen to this.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place.
A new report from special counsel John Durham. Clinton campaign lawyers paid a tech company to infiltrate Trump servers to fabricate a connection between Trump and Russia.
Hillary Clinton broke the law to frame Trump as a Russian traitor.
This is truly unprecedented, truly something that has never happened in the history of our great country.
This is a digital insurrection.
It turns out the Trump-Russian collusion story was just a deflection from the Hillary-Russian collusion story.
Trump was right.
Trump was telling the truth.
It was you, Hillary Clinton, who undermined our democracy.
There are people that should go to jail.
So some are saying justice is coming for Hillary. Well, we'll see, because many of us have been here a long time and have been watching the Clintons get away with it. Some would say get away with murder for a long time. We'll see what happens. But digital insurrection. Well, here we go again. They're going to accuse us of what they do. I agree with the individual who said this is digital insurrection. They're trying to overthrow a duly elected president, set him up in a scandal that was manufactured, and then have him impeached and trying to remove him from office. That's a digital insurrection. But who do they accuse of really being involved in an insurrection? You, me, people who speak the truth. Now we're involved in being domestic terrorists and insurrection if we tell the truth. If we speak against the government, we are potentially domestic terrorists. This is what the DHS put out a few weeks ago. This is not hyperbole. And don't think for one minute with the Patriot Act and other things that globalist George W. Bush gave us that they can't set the narrative to start seizing, as they are in Canada, the assets of those they deem to be potential terrorists or so-called terrorists. And again, the new definition of terrorist is you speak against the government narrative. Now, remember, being a white supremacist or a racist or misogynist means you eat meat and eggs and drink milk. So these people have taken the language, the English language, and have wrapped their agenda around it so that they can try to destroy us by claiming we are things we are not. You label your opponent whatever you have to in order to destroy them. But the reality is, we know who the real racists are. We know the real racists are people that try to keep, and have for years, keep the black community enslaved through the welfare state and on the government Uncle Sam's plantation, as Star Parker put it in her book. They're the racist. They are the ones involved in insurrection, digital insurrection, and real insurrection, trying to overthrow the government. They're the ones involved in terrorism, literally working with known terrorist-tied groups, people tied back to Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, Hamas. Remember, the largest terrorist funding trial in the U.S. by the U.S. government was the Holy Land Foundation trial. Well, whatever happened to Muslim Brotherhood? No, it got shut down when Obama came into office, did it not? Well, speaking of people betraying our country, then we have BlackRock. Many people don't know that some of the largest financial organizations in America, BlackRock, Vanguard, and just a few others, go look at the massive, massive network of companies these small collection of big financial firms own. It's truly staggering. One of them is BlackRock. Here's a video about BlackRock that you should listen to, paid for by Consumers Research, on BlackRock targeting your money. BlackRock taking your money and betting on China. Listen and watch this.
He calls democracy messy, props up the Chinese Communist Party, praises Xi and his regime, known for violent oppression, invests in Chinese military companies. A defector? No. It's BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, the CEO of a major American company who's gone all in on China. Can he be more anti-American? Larry Fink, BlackRock, taking your money, betting on China.
Well, and again, we know from the book put out by Peter Schweitzer, many of these folks are betting on China. They're in relationships with China. Now, let's talk about how it is we have so many politicians in America that do not want to do the right thing for America. Many of us have warned for a long, long time that what's really going on is bullying, blackmail, and bought. People are bought, they get paid off, they're bought, they're blackmailed, they're bullied. How do they blackmail people? Well, for years I've told you, those of you that have listened to this show for so many years know that I have said, you know that they're fooling around, many of them, with people of the same sex. They're fooling around, some of them, with underage kids. They're fooling around with all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing. And then there's their financial improprieties. And all of that can be used for leverage. Well, how do they gain this? Could it be that the deep state is the one harvesting the information, and who's really controlling them is the deep state? I have warned for several years that I believe this government is really run by the CIA. And it might just not may not be just the CIA, but I do think the CIA has been running this country ever since they, and I believe they were, involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. We have really been run by the intelligence arena. So when we come back, I want to share with you what the FBI is up to and the CIA. And did you know that this week, the FBI came out, according to The Hill, the FBI has opened a cryptocurrency division? Now, why on earth would the FBI be opening a cryptocurrency division? Well, why is the FBI running around harassing parents over critical race theory and mask mandates? Because they become the new KGB. They are the jackbooted thugs for the central government who doesn't want competition. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. All right, so let's go back to our website here, worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com. So how is it that so many of our politicians are controlled? I think, again, bullied, blackmailed, or bought off. Well, look at this right here. The FBI and their spying software. The FBI article, new article written on February 2nd by Judge Napolitano. Here's what he writes. Three weeks ago, this column reported on warnings issued by the Biden administration about the dangers of spyware. Spyware is software that permits the user to hack a computer unseen, unheard, and undetected. The manufacturer of the warned about spyware is an Israeli company called NSO, and its product is called Pegasus. Pegasus permits its users to type in anyone's cell number and, without requiring a response from the operator of the mobile device, gain complete access to the full contents of that device. Are you guys listening to this? Let me read that again. Pegasus permits its users to type in anyone's cell number and, without requiring a response from the operator of the mobile device, gain complete access to the full contents of that device. Even though doing this in America or to an American is a federal crime. Commonly called computer hacking, the Israelis have used it as part of their intelligence services for about 6 years. They have sold it to about a dozen foreign government entities who have used it for a law enforcement, spying, and harassing political opposition and journalists. Harassing political opposition and journalists. Let me read that again. Israel has sold it to about a dozen foreign government entities who have used it for law enforcement, spying, and harassing political opposition and journalists. Now, can you imagine what foreign governments this has been sold to? And can you imagine what foreign governments know about our politicians based on what is on their phones, who they are texting, what they are texting, what they're receiving? Do you understand how this could be used to blackmail people? Do you now want to know how it is? And by the way, do you think any chance that the dozens of foreign government entities that received this, one of them could have been, well, let's say China or a Chinese-owned entity? And then you wonder how it is the Chinese government can blackmail our politicians. Now they know what they're up to. Things they shouldn't be doing, but they are doing, which are now documented by their texting with people and emailing with people. They know what their life is and what they're doing, who they're talking to, what they're talking about, what their extracurricular activities are, if you will. The article continues, one of the government entities that purchased Pegasus is, wait for it, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. The article continues, when the Biden administration warned against being victimized by Pegasus, it did not tell the American public that the government owns this spyware. We now know, thanks to dogged reporting by Ronan Bergman and Mark Masati of the New York Times, that the FBI experimented with Pegasus from a warehouse in New Jersey for about 2 years before abandoning it. For 2 years, Phantom, the American version of Pegasus, was used on two tracks. It was employed experimentally by the FBI and debated theoretically by lawyers at the Department of Justice and the White House during the presidency of Donald Trump and Joe Biden. The Biden administration must have known the coming times expose, hence its recent odd warning. So you see what's going on here? The Biden regime knew this Times piece was coming, so they started warning. You know, in other words, they're trying to act like they're getting out in front of this and they're opposed to this. We're going to warn you, American people, be very careful. This is dangerous. But they're actually behind it. Pegasus and Phantom have a sordid history, nearly all of which involves former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Suffice it to say that the Israeli government acquired new international friends by permitting NSO to sell Pegasus to foreign governments that had never been aligned diplomatically with Israel. Suffice it also to say that Netanyahu and his government looked the other way when the purchase of this software, including the Israeli government itself, used it to spy on political opponents and journalists. Now, of course, while foreign governments were having a field day with this, lawyers in the Trump and Biden administrations were debating privately whether the use of Phantom violated federal computer hacking laws and violated the Fourth Amendment. The government defends its $5 million purchase by arguing that its use lets it avoid needing the permission of big tech in order to spy on Americans. The government told the Times reporters that it needs to know about spy tools so it can, quote, combat crime and protect both the American people and our civil liberties, end quote. I am from the government, and I'm here to help you. You can trust me. Remember when Apple was asked a few years ago, was it Tim Cook was asked to unlock somebody's cell phone? I can't remember what the situation was. But the government, I think it was the federal government, the FBI, asked them to help them unlock somebody's cell phone to get some information, some big case. Some of you might remember what it was. And to his credit, Tim Cook said, pound sand, we're not doing that. Well, apparently, they don't need Tim Cook anymore. They don't need IBM or Apple to open your phone. I guess they can now do it themselves. There is no lawful purpose to this spyware because the Fourth Amendment requires a search warrant for all surveillance, and it requires that the warrant specifically describe the place to be searched and the person or thing to be seized. Because Phantom does not focus on narrow data but gives its users full access to the contents of one's mobile device, it is per se violation of the Fourth Amendment. Great article by Judge Napolitano. So, we now, by the way, you say, well, supposedly the FBI is not using this anymore. Yeah, well, who do they pass it off to? And do you believe that they're not using it anymore? And did they pass it off to someone else who collects the data from them so they have plausible deniability? So you're wanting to know and understand how it is our elected officials are controlled, bribed by foreign entities and domestic enemies? I think we're learning how. How about this one over at worldviewreport.com? CIA spies on their collaborators. Another article by Judge Napolitano, this one just a couple days old, published February 17th. There is no basis. Okay, let me pick here. When the CIA was created in 1947, members of Congress who feared the establishment here of the type of domestic surveillance apparatus the Allies had just defeated in Germany insisted that the new CIA have no role in American law enforcement, no legal ability to spy within the U.S. The legislation creating the CIA contains those limitations. In other words, the CIA's charter is overseas. They're not to be operating here in the United States of America. But by the way, apparently the FBI does it for them and then hands off the information to the CIA. But we also know the CIA just breaks the law. Come on. CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. Maybe it should be Criminal Intelligence Agency, but here we go. Nevertheless, we know from statements of former governors of several states that CIA agents claim to be physically present in all 50 state houses in the United States. The judge told me about that in my interview with him a few weeks ago. The agents who have infiltrated state governments didn't arrive until after December 4th, 1981. That's the date that President Ronald Reagan signed Executive Order 12333, which purports to give the CIA authority to spy in America, supposedly looking for narcotics from foreign countries and keep from law enforcement whatever it finds. Stated differently, while Reagan purported to authorize the CIA to defy the limitations imposed upon it by the Constitution and the federal government, he insisted that a wall, quote, wall of separation between domestic spying and law enforcement. So, if the CIA, using unconstitutional spying, discovered that a janitor in the Russian embassy in Washington was really a KGB colonel who abused his wife in their suburban Maryland home under Executive Order 12333, that's two threes, under Executive Order 12333, it could continue to spy upon him in defiance of the Fourth Amendment and the CIA charter, but it could not reveal to Maryland prosecutors, who can only use evidence lawfully obtained, any evidence of his domestic violence. But folks, all this changed 20 years later when President George W. Bush demolished Reagan's quote, wall, end quote, between law enforcement and domestic spying, and directed the CIA and other domestic spying agencies to share the fruits of their spying with the FBI. One big happy family. Thus, thanks to Reagan and Bush authorizing it and their successors looking the other way, CIA agents have been engaging in phishing expositions on a grand scale inside the U.S. for the past 20 years. Congress knows about this because all intelligence agencies are required by statute to report the extent of their spying secretly to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. This, of course, does not absolve the CIA of its presidentially authorized computer hacking crimes. Rather, it gives Congress a false sense of security that it has a handle on what's going on. Now, what's going on is not CIA lawyers appearing before judges asking for surveillance warrants based upon probable cause of crime, as the Constitution requires. What's going on is CIA agents going to big tech and paying for access to communications used by ordinary Americans. Some big tech firms told the CIA to take a hike. Others took the CIA's cash. Look at that. Others took the CIA's cash and opened the spigots of their fiber optic data to the federal government's appetite. See now. Bullied. Bribed. Blackmailed. Huh. If the CIA went to a judge and demonstrated a probable cause of crime, for example, that a janitor in the Russian embassy was passing defense secrets to Moscow, surely the judge would have signed a surveillance warrant. But to the CIA, following the Constitution is too limiting. Thus, by acquiring bulk data, fiber optic data on hundreds of millions of Americans acquired without search warrants, the CIA could avoid the time and trouble of demonstrating probable cause to a judge. But that time and trouble were intentionally required by authors of the Fourth Amendment so as to keep the government off our backs. Not to be outdone by its principal rival, the FBI soon began doing the same thing, gathering bulk data without search warrants. When Congress learned of this, it enacted legislation that banned the warrantless acquisition of bulk data. Apparently, Congress is naive enough to believe that the CIA, the FBI, and the National Security Agency, their cousin with 60,000 domestic spies, actually complies with the federal law. Well, Congress doesn't even comply with the federal law. So last week, the naivete was manifested front and center when the CIA sent a letter to Senate Intelligence Committee documenting the extent of its domestic acquisition of bulk data on Americans, which I think has been called deep dive, the deep dive. So there you go. He concludes, in 1947, Congress created a monster, which today is so big, so powerful, and so indifferent to the Constitution and the federal laws, its agents have sworn to uphold that it can boast about its lawlessness, have no fear of defying Congress, and always escape the consequences of all this largely unscathed. I suspect the CIA and its cousins get away with this because they spy on Congress and possess damning personal data on members who regularly vote to increase their secret budgets. When will we have a government whose officials are courageous enough to uphold the Constitution? In other words, you got a bunch of dirty scoundrels, largely dirty, dirty scoundrels, and in the Republican Party, you got a lot of dirty scoundrels. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing, miles from home. They're being set up, many of them, what are called honeypots. And many of these people get caught in a honeypot, a trap, and then the intelligence community owns them. Has this happened? I can tell you of stories that are public, if time allowed. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. So now we're starting to figure out exactly what I've been telling you guys for years and years and years, which is I'm convinced that the Central Intelligence Agency, the deep state, has so much dirt on members of Congress and in the state legislatures that they can control everybody, which is why you have a lot of Republicans that go along and they don't do anything, or they go to Washington and within a few months or a couple years or even a year, all of a sudden they're a totally different person. Well, they were miles from home, and sadly, many of those people miles from home don't see their wives except on the weekend. And they get there to Washington, and they don't see their family for many days, and they're far from home, and pretty soon a honeypot comes along and tells them how great they are and how smart they are and how handsome they are, and pretty soon, man and his flesh and his pride and his ego kicks in, and he thinks that this young gal, you know, really thinks he's something else, and he's too stupid to know he's been set up and being set up, and pretty soon he falls into the honeypot and goes off somewhere he shouldn't be and has a fling, and guess what? The whole thing's caught on camera. And if you don't think this hasn't happened, you ought to go look up the story of Congressman McDonald, who ended up passing away when I think he was on the plane that was shot down by the Soviet Union. Because he was reportedly about to go to the government, FBI, and say that he had been set up. And this kind of thing had happened to him. I think Alex Newman has written and spoken about this quite a bit, this case, this story. In that case, I think it was a foreign entity that set him up. And when he got to the room where he was and shouldn't have been doing what he shouldn't have been doing, there was a one-way mirror, and on the other side were people from another government filming it all. Now, this is how governments, foreign and domestic, our own government, I believe, as well as foreign governments, get people in traps, honeypots, if you will, and then control them. They feed them what is their appetite. And for some of them, it's not an attractive woman for a man, attractive woman of, you know, of a younger age. For some of them, their appetites might be of someone for the same sex, or sadly and regrettably, even children. And so it doesn't take much for these people to be compromised, which is why for so many years it was very, very important that we had people of high repute and high character and morals, and to pass various background checks and have information that was of national security implications, they had to pass background checks that dealt with morality. Well, today we see that many people can't pass those kind of things, and indeed are even being compromised by the very agencies themselves, the FBI and the CIA, or the NSA, any of the 18 plus agencies out there or more. But reality is, it appears to be it's the FBI and CIA largely. Now, with that being said, that the government is able to attract so much data on us as Americans and what we're doing, and then to be able to use it to threaten embarrassment or whatever else, or wouldn't your wife love to see these pictures, kind of thing, and then all of a sudden they're controlled. Well, we're now finding that the government is going to set up a new division inside the FBI on cryptocurrencies. Let's go back to worldviewreport.com. All of these articles at worldviewreport.com is where I put a lot of my show notes. In the old days, I would print all these articles out, have them on the desk, and read them to you. In the new day, the new age, we put them online, and then we're able to quickly find them and say, if you want to know where all this is, it's at worldviewreport.com. So here's this third article there at worldviewreport.com from the top, FBI to form new cryptocurrency unit. Now, this is a new article that just came out 2 days ago, yesterday, one day ago, not even 24 hours ago. FBI to form new cryptocurrency unit. This is The Hill. Now, you say, why is that important? Because what is going on in Canada right now? Bank accounts are being seized, as we've heard, under their basically state of emergency. Laws are being suspended. Martial law, they can call it what they want, but it's martial law. By the way, I did interview last night Nathan Pawlowski, Art Pawlowski, Pastor Art Pawlowski's son, and Pastor Pawlowski is being denied bail. The judge, apparently, according to Nathan, said that he has the ability to raise money. So whatever bail he set, apparently, he could acquire that number. And so therefore, the judge, instead of just setting the bail high, decided to not give him bail at all. So apparently they deem him, according to The Sun, the government of Canada, to be dangerous because he has a voice. He has a following. So they're holding him in solitary confinement, we're being told, until his next court date, March 11th. Wow. Well, what are they going to do March 11th? Maybe they'll decide to hold him again. If you're under martial law, your laws have been suspended, or they're deeming him a domestic terrorist, and they have something like the Patriot Act up there, they could basically, I think, hold him indefinitely. And we really are doing this kind of thing now in America with the January 6th people, aren't we? So, in Canada, we're watching them seize people's bank accounts with no due process. Well, as we see a corrupt government, as we see massive inflation, as we see monitoring and spying on people and the ability to, for the government to be lawless and just steal stuff from you indiscriminately without due process, many Americans say, you know what, I just don't really want to be in U.S. currency. I don't really want to be in digits in the bank. I think I'd like to go to a cryptocurrency. And so cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency mining, as you know, Bitcoin and other things out there have become quite popular. One of the reasons why is because of the privacy, the anonymity. Well, the government doesn't like competition. Now, of course, the government's going to paint a lot of this as being illegal or potentially being used for criminal activities and whatnot. But reality is the government doesn't like criminal competition. The government can be involved in all the Ponzi schemes, Social Security, all the Ponzi schemes, all the criminal activity that it wants, as we've already seen today, breaking the Fourth Amendment, the U.S. Constitution. They can break the law with impunity. The government just doesn't want competition, folks. The government doesn't want competition. The government wants to be able to control the masses. The government doesn't want people to say, well, good luck seizing my bank account. I don't really have anything in there but basic, minimum amount to pay some bills now and then. I basically have put my assets or savings in cryptocurrency, which is completely secret. They're like, we want to have the right to be secure in our persons and papers and things and have secrecy. Now, of course, I can understand if you're talking about someone, involved in income tax evasion or breaking the law. But again, it's so ironic that the government breaks the law every day. But if you do what the government does, they want to throw you in prison and do. But reality is more people want privacy. They want security. They don't want to be at the whim of the government just stealing their stuff. And we're seeing that happen in Canada. So cryptocurrency is gaining speed. And along comes the FBI, and The Hill reports yesterday, the FBI is forming a new team dedicated to cryptocurrency, according to the Department of Justice. Now, what's very interesting is if you have the government with the FBI and the CIA and Deep Dive and this software that the FBI was trying out for 2 years and wants you to believe they're no longer using, of course they're not using it, they can say. They've probably sold it off to a front group. Or the CIA is just collecting it under a front group and then passing it off to the FBI. So reality is, don't believe for 1 minute they're not using this. And people that have cryptocurrency are thinking, well, I'm safe. Really? If you have your passwords on your phone or your computer, guess who has them now? Oh, what a wonderful world. If you think you got some cryptocurrency and you're thinking, well, my cryptocurrency is safe from a lawless government that wants to steal my stuff without due process, and you put your passwords on your computer or phone, guess what? The government likely has it. So the FBI is forming a new team dedicated to cryptocurrency, according to the Department of Justice, writes The Hill. The new team will work closely with the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, the Department of Justice announced Thursday. And you've got prosecutor Yu Yang Chao, or Choi, who has a background in cyber-related crimes, will serve as the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team's first director. The department has been on the forefront of investigating and prosecuting crimes involving digital currencies since their inception, Chao said in a statement. And we go on from there. The Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team will focus on challenges posed by the criminal misuse of cryptocurrencies and digital assets. Yeah, that's what they tell you. That's always the front. We're fighting crime. The team will also be comprised of attorneys from across the department, including prosecutors with backgrounds in cryptocurrency, cybercrime, money laundering, and forfeiture. Again, I'm not for people using cryptocurrency to be involved in laundering money or in illegal activities. But I can promise you this is all window dressing. What this is really about, ultimately, folks, is, I believe, making sure the government has no competition and that you are forced into their cryptocurrency, which they are working on. We already know the Federal Reserve is working on that. We've got a report now coming out of the Boston Fed. We've got the head of the Federal Reserve talking, and the Treasury is talking about this. This is where we're going. This is what the World Economic Forum is talking about. Everybody knows this is where it's going. They don't want you to have any kind of liberty outside of their system. For them to control populations, they have to be able to control you, which means they have to be able to control what you own and take it from you. The FBI's new virtual asset exploitation unit will be made up of cryptocurrency experts to help provide analysis, support, training across the FBI. The team will also innovate its cryptocurrency tools to stay ahead of the future threats, according to the department. Blah, 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 blah. The government is going to make sure that there's not an alternative to the government's illegal, unconstitutional money system that is run by a private group known as the Federal Reserve, given a federal charter in 1913, which Andrew Jackson warned us in his farewell address, don't ever do this, don't ever give power to these people. Your great threat is not from abroad. The bravery of your gallant sons is known worldwide. Your great threat is not from abroad, it's from within. And it is from people who will expand the credit, expand the balance sheet, expand the credit, lower the interest rates to make capital available, to enrich themselves, and then contract that when it suits them, which will have a ruinous effect upon the nation, and that a people will wake up homeless in a nation founded by their fathers. That is the farewell address off the top of my head from Andrew Jackson. And why do I have it memorized? Because I've said it so many times. And he was censured because he got rid of a central bank, Andrew Jackson, from my home state of Tennessee. Well, we didn't listen. We got the Federal Reserve, private charter given to about a dozen banks, and look at where we're at. Over $100 trillion in debt. Everyone talks about the $30 trillion. No. Add the on-record, off-record. We're over $100 trillion. Well over $100 trillion. They cannot pay this off. They can't raise the interest rates because the federal government can't even afford to pay the interest on the debt if the interest rates pop up more than 50 basis points a couple times. The average American would stop spending, and this is like a shark that has to keep moving for water to rush through its gills to stay alive. The money has to keep flowing for the economy to stay alive. They're caught. They have to keep inflating. And eventually they'll inflate until it blows out the top, and they will have stolen people's money, just as John Maynard Keynes predicted. Phone lines open, 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Had a great 45-minute conversation on TV with Dr. Rob Lindstedt. I haven't interviewed him in a while. I've been working with him for about 25 years. Dr. Rob Lindstedt is now available on my website at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Great interview with Dr. Rob Lindstedt on the Middle East, Israel, why more pastors aren't talking about the Bible prophecy unfolding globally right in front of us. Why aren't more pastors talking about it? Thankful for the ones that are, but why are more pastors not talking about these things? Why is the world, even the unsaved world, interested in prophecy? We get into that and how prophecy reveals the supernatural nature of the Bible and can be even used as a tool for evangelism to show the authenticity and veracity and the trustworthiness of the Bible, which includes the gospel plan. All that's available in that interview with Dr. Rob Lindstedt I conducted yesterday at WVWTV.com. Let's go to your phone calls, 1-800-347-9829. John in Milwaukee, line one. John, thanks for calling in, John.
Yes, I got a letter, Brandon, this week or 2 days ago from the Census Bureau, and they want to know about my car. And this is, the survey includes, they're going to send me a survey in 2 weeks. They want to know the vehicle type, safety features, miles driven, fuel and maintenance, weight, personal or commercial usage, type of business, and what was transported. The amazing part is this is a Ford EcoSport. It's not licensed as a truck. And it continues, and I trust them. I'm afraid to start the car now. We will not share this with any other agencies, so on and so forth. And it's got four agencies underneath. And it's like, if anybody doesn't believe you, it's like, I was converted years ago. So I thank you for your voice and for your program. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, John. Yeah, they even want to know the details of your car. All those details about your car he just rattled off. It's none of their business. And now they're going to manufacture and force manufacturers to put into the cars the switch so they can turn your car off at will. Wow. Greg in Minnesota. Greg, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon, for taking my call. When you were talking about the blackmail, I kind of flashed back to the Godfather movie.
Yes.
Where the one senator was blackmailed, and they said they would take care of it, and then all of a sudden he's beholden to the mob.
Yes.
And I don't think that's much different than what's going on now.
You're exactly right. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely – believe it or not, I've never seen that movie that you're talking about. I know a lot of people talk about it. I've never seen it, but I understand the concepts. Yeah, I understand the concepts, and I think that's exactly what happens. I think the government learned a lot from the mob. Remember, initially, the FBI was really big on prosecuting, going after the mob, right? But I think the FBI, when it transitioned to becoming an illegal organization, just took all the files of what they learned from the mob and just duplicated it. Let's go to Paul in Missouri. By the way, the number 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Paul in Missouri, thanks for calling in, Paul.
Hey, Brandon. Glad you answered my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on, you speaking about the federal government and what they're doing.
Yes.
And these people we're dealing with the Antichrist. That's what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all possessed by the spirit of the Antichrist. But if really want to fix this, the way I look at it is, Jesus said in the Bible that pray for your enemies, and it would be like putting fiery coals upon their head. And God is long-suffering that anyone should perish. So if all the Christians would come together and not pray for what they want, but pray for their enemies, then God would put a bit of conviction on these people and start dealing with them.
Hmm. Great call. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Can't disagree with that one bit. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Wendy in Delaware. Thank you for calling in, Wendy.
Hi, I'm from Delaware, Ohio.
Oh, Delaware, Ohio. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Mike Lindell is going to Ohio.
Yeah, he'll be there this afternoon.
I am from Ohio.
Okay.
and I voted on paper, and I didn't get a privacy sleeve.
Right.
So they need to fix that, and I did complain at the time, and I to this day don't know if my vote counted or if I'm one of the double votes, because in the Columbus Dispatch, either on January 6th or January 8th, they talked about double voting, and the poll votes books allowed double voting. So the poll books are defective, and Mike needs to know that so that he can address that. I know a person that worked with the Board of Election and is very unimpressed with the Ohio State Secretary of State, and he has connections that are interesting. I'm sure Mike already knows that. But the poll books are defective. They should be gotten rid of because they allow double voting, period.
Excellent.
And so should the machines.
Yes. Excellent call. We'll have to get some of that info to him as well. Excellent call. Thank you, Wendy, from Delaware, Ohio. David in Wisconsin. David, line four. David, thanks for calling in, David.
Hey, I was sitting back and listening to what you were saying, and, you know, when I see the deceit where they blackmail guys by basically get high-class prostitutes is what this is, it reminds me of the movie The Firm, where they use it to blackmail a character there, and it's like they showed him pictures later, and it's like, you see, you know, it's a shame if your wife would see these things. You can see the level of deception.
Yes.
The other thing that really hit me was when you said they inflate the value of the currency, everybody jumps in, they get up to their necks in debt, and we're being set up just like the fall back at the Great Depression. It's they're preparing for the same thing. Except this is going to affect the whole globe. And I don't think most of the believers realize the most important piece or the most important part in this giant risk game is the United States of America. If we go down, it's just a matter of everything else falling apart after that.
Well, David, you make a great point because the American dollar has been the world reserve currency, right? So that's going to create a real problem for other people. Of course, this is one reason why a lot of countries, traditionally it's been the BRICS banking system, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, working together to get rid of the world dollar. Putin's working on that. But you're right. And, of course, the only thing that really keeps our dollar propped up is that other people want to buy our debt and hold our reserve currency for petrodollars, buying oil. So you're absolutely right. It's perilous. And I think, as Dr. Rob Lindstedt said last night, he said, it's all going to crash. It's all going to crash. The Bible tells us this is what's coming, a one-world economy, a one-world government. And I think we're watching it being set up right now. We got a front-row seat to Bible prophecy being unfilled. Thanks for your calls, guys. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.